Welcome to Rhythm Check, a podcast from trainee doctors for trainee doctors. As a group, we spend so much time talking to our patients about how to look after their own health and well-being. But how often do we actually do this for ourselves? It's unfortunately all too common that work can take priority and we forget to check in with how we're doing and what we can do for our own well-being. So, it's time to practice what we preach. I'm Flo.
And I'm Katie. And we'll be your hosts for this series. We're both specialty trainee doctors, and each episode we'll look at some of the important pillars of well-being and how our training can impact these. We'll hear from other trainees about the common problems and pitfalls that we face, from ever-changing shift patterns, rotations, workload stress, to maintaining our personal lives, and how, as trainees, we've learned to manage and deal with them.
Today, we're going to be talking about exercise and movement and some of the challenges we might have in fitting this around our training. We all know it's so important to keep our bodies moving and maintain an active lifestyle, but this can be so difficult when trying to find the time and balance fitting it in alongside busy rotas or more sedentary rotations. I, for one, am definitely a culprit of often getting home and flopping on the sofa after a long shift. Sometimes it's just really hard to find that motivation.
I've been there too, Flo, but sometimes I find myself have some consistent months of being really good, but it seems to ebb and flow. So is there a way around this? How can we make sure exercise isn't the first thing to slip in our priorities? And are there any easy wins that we can use every day at work to help us find that crucial balance? Here to talk to us more about this is Johnny. Welcome, Johnny. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, thank you for having me. So my name is Johnny Moses. I'm a GP registrar in the East of England. I came into medicine as a graduate entry medic, and I have interests in sports and exercise medicine, especially the musculoskeletal and exercise medicine streams, as well as lifestyle medicine and holistic well-being. I'm also a musculoskeletal clinical leadership champion for Versus Arthritis, and I'm on the steering committee for Primary Care, Rheumatology and Musculoskeletal Medicine Society, and previously sat on the executive committee for the British Association of Sports and Exercise Medicine. And I've done different bits of research, as well as creating educational resources for exercise. However, today I'm going to be speaking in my capacity as a junior doctor and the struggles that I face trying to keep active.
I'm really looking forward to hearing some of your insights, particularly with all that as your background. I think the first challenge for trainees, certainly in my mind, can be trying to incorporate movement itself at work. And our jobs can be so variable. And some days we can spend it sat at our desks in clinical day, or perhaps surgeons standing in theatre. But other days we might find ourselves running from pillar to post and on calls, not having a moment's break. It's this kind of unpredictability that makes it hard to maintain consistent movement at work. So, Johnny, as a GP, I would assume spend a lot of the time sat down in the day. And how do you find balancing this and trying to find some sort of movement at work?
It's a really good question, Katie. And yeah, you're absolutely right that a lot of my day is spent sitting down at a desk, being relatively sedentary. And it's definitely something which I try to be aware of and try to combat. Just thinking about why is this all important in the first place? Why should I try to move? Why should I try to overcome the barriers that working in general practice imposes on me to be able to move? So I think of it that we're born to move. And this is evident from how, as part of life on Earth, we have evolved to adapt to the world around us with a complex multi-sensory processing system and a beautifully orchestrated neuromusculoskeletal system, which enables us to navigate our perceived reality and to survive and thrive in the world around us. And there's a complex interplay between movement and nearly every aspect of our lives across the biopsychosocial domains. The challenge we have is civilized society has obviously brought us lots of benefits that we take for granted, but also has placed these barriers which make it hard to move in the way that our bodies have evolved to be. And this can have impacts.
I suppose I'd say it's that taking it from that kind of hunter caveman style and then evolution kind of bringing us into this modern world.
100%. 100%. And the thing is, it then has these negative outcomes in our health and well-being. I think it was the World Health Organization that listed as a modifiable risk factor for all-cause mortality was physical inactivity, just behind tobacco use, high blood pressure, and that's sometimes interchangeable between BMI and raised glucose levels. But there's obviously loads of benefits then for being active. There's the kind of more intuitive ones, like the impact on our cardiovascular system, on our neuromusculoskeletal systems. But there's also ones that are less intuitive, things like prevention for non-communicable diseases, such as diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke. Also types of cancer, there's good evidence for risk reduction for breast cancer and colon cancer, as well as helping to manage pain. And also aspects of our mental health. There's evidence for depression and anxiety as well. So it's something where there's a lot to gain.
I think that mental health side of things as well is such a hot topic. You know, we spend a lot of our time at work talking with patients about all the physical stuff. But that mental health side of things is only really joining the conversation in recent years, I think. And particularly something that we can turn back on ourselves, I think, as trainees.
I agree. And I think something which we all experience as healthcare professionals is the amount of stress that we're under at work. And it's so important to have healthy outlets, not only for our kind of resilience, but just to kind of just, you know, be happy as people. Because if we're not happy as people, it's hard to then be able to provide care for others.
Being happy at work.
Exactly. And happy outside of work too.
So thinking about that aspect of trying to have some sort of movement while at work, you were saying that, I suppose, as a GP, there are certain restrictions already or barriers imposed upon you already. What do you find the most testing?
So I think it's being sedentary, sat at a desk, often behind a screen for hours on end. That's a real challenge. And also being stuck inside a building as well. And I guess that's something which is applicable to most healthcare professions. We tend to be stuck either in a clinic or a GP surgery or a hospital.
Always with a window which opens about 2 centimetres.
Yeah.
I feel lucky in some places, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things that I do, so a big thing is looking at sedentary behaviour, physical inactivity. And there's really good evidence that shows that if we sit for longer than 30 minutes at a time, that can start to have negative impacts on our health. So one of the things that I try to do is first look at what are the things that I can control and I can't control. You know, can I go out and have a run during the day? I wish. That'd be great, but I can't. But what I can do is control how long do I sit for in any single amount of time. And normally if I check my clock on my computer, and if it's gone around 30 minutes, I just try to make sure that I stand up. Obviously not if there's a patient in front of me, that'll look quite strange. Although, you know, you can style it out and go, and, well, you know, wash your hands a second time. But I'll try to stand up in between patients if I'm doing a lot of admin work, just to make sure that I'm moving my body. I think also calling patients in person is something which I find is a good way to work in some physical activity. It's very easy to press the call-in button and send patients from the waiting room to see me. But I think actually just standing up, walking down the corridor, up or down the stairs to call people in, not only is it good for my physical activity, it's also nice, you know, helping to build that rapport with patients as well. So those are kind of two key things.
I think it's tricky, isn't it? As trainees, it's so tempting to slip into these bad habits sometimes, where we kind of cut corners, or we feel like if it's a really busy day, we just need to be chained to our desk and not move and, you know, eat your lunch at your desk and do your jobs list as you're going. And it's amazing how quickly, certainly I noticed that, you know, if you let one thing go, like not taking a bit of time away from your desk, it can so easily evolve into something that you're regularly doing, and actually you're missing out on these really simple moments where you can just get up and move, which make all the difference.
Do you not think your headspace is better after a little bit of movement as well? I'm just thinking back to one of my placements when we were feeling a bit doolally on a particular ward, and every afternoon in the end we would do this kind of walk around the hospital, around the perimeter of the hospital outside, 10 minutes tops, and we would come back and we'd be so much more effective. The nurses were on board because then they realised after a week, actually, all of the stuff that they wanted getting done got done when we got back. I think
just
that
so
somehow
much more productive.
Yeah, your brain's in a better space.
I agree.
And that's a 10 minute moment out of your, you know, snapshot out of your day, which sometimes when you're feeling really stressed, you feel like you don't have, but actually it makes the world of difference sometimes, doesn't it? I like that concept of enforcing quick walk.
It helped that everyone was on board. And to be honest, yeah, I think it was perhaps the ice lollies in the summer as well. But it was good. It was getting that movement in.
That's always a win. I do the same thing. So I always make sure that I walk after my clinical sessions, that I just take a walk around the perimeter of the building as a minimum, just to A, move my body, but also to get out of the building, like you said. And actually, I just have an ethos of trying to get under the sky during the daytime, especially during the winter, when, you know, the daylight hours are few and far between. You know, you arrive at work, it's dark, you leave work and it's dark. And actually, you know, have I had an opportunity to be under be under the sun, to see the sky, and try and work some activity into that is so important.
I really like that idea, get under the sky, particularly on those days, as you said, where it's just dark the whole time and you just need a moment of being out in the sunlight for, you know, a few minutes a day. It makes such a big difference.
It's probably that element of nature as well. I mean, I suppose it depends where you're working, because I imagine some places are better than others. But if you can somehow get a sense of, I don't know, the seaside or trees or something beyond just hospital food and beds, then actually that idea of nature must be really good for you as well.
Totally. I think something maybe as trainees in the East of England is something which hopefully we can take advantage of. If there is nature and wildlife nearby, and if we have time to, and it, like you said, doesn't have to be long, it can be just for a few minutes. But I think being in nature, at least for me, is such an important part of my day. Even if it's just finding where the trees are, walk to the trees and walk back, or spend a couple of minutes there.
So you've spoken about easy wins, shall we say, so walk into the waiting room, that walk around the block. Anything else that you incorporate into your daily routine?
So at work, so one thing I do, I stand in a horse stance when I do my admin. I can't always maintain the horse stance for the whole duration of my admin, but I try to do it. So it's almost a bit like standing in a squat position over the by the computer.
It's quite deep and wide.
Deep and wide. It just gets me using my muscles a little bit. So I try to just think, if I'm going to be doing something which is quite, doesn't take too much processing power for my mind, you know, can I then try and work in some activity during it? Hits and miss depending on how big my admin list is. But I try to do things like that. Sometimes if I get into work early, I will just do some gentle stretches if I haven't done them at home beforehand. But normally I have a routine that I do every morning, which is as soon as I wake up, I say a gratitude statement because I feel that's a nice way to start my day. And I try just to gently just move every joint in my body really nice and loosely. It's not necessarily anything intense. I think sometimes we can get really intimidated by the concept of exercise, that we think, you know, exercise is something which is very, very formal. It's something we have to put effort in. It almost feels a bit like work. And sometimes the last thing we want to do is do more work, right?
It feels like a chore sometimes, doesn't it?
It really does. And it can be intimidating for maybe those of us that don't do any regular form of exercise or aren't engaged in any formal sport. But actually, you know, thinking about movement as just movement, it's just moving our bodies. And it's something which should be pleasurable, something which we should enjoy. So what I try to do is I just move all my joints, and with a smile on my face, just kind of almost being grateful that I've got a body that I can move. That's almost part of my daily routine. I try to do that in the morning when I wake up. If I'm in a bit of a rush, I might see if I can work that in my day, even on a lunch break as well.
I really like that distinction between trying to enjoy movement itself, and then obviously exercise and whatever can come in at a different point in a different place.
And it's also sort of having, you know, not pinning expectations on yourself and your body, because you recognize that some days as trainee doctors, you know, we just don't have the ability to get outside because the take is really busy, or, you know, there's just stuff going on constantly. And actually it's just recognizing that you know, when you are able to do those little things, just being happy with that and getting moving in that perspective, and not beating yourself up that you've not, you know, you've not managed to do everything that you wanted to do in terms of movement that day, because some days it's just not possible. And that's okay too.
Moving on to our second challenge. We've thought about difficulties inside of work, and it's important we think about how our medical training can impact our ability to exercise outside of work. Flo and I were thinking about this just the other day, and I suppose, particularly in my mind, the two big factors are time and motivation. I think because the big commitment that medical training has, time outside of work can be often limited and it can be tricky to fit this in and very, very variable. And also when we've had busy, stressful days at work, my motivation dwindles massively.
I'm with you on that.
Me too.
I always feel like there's somebody who's running an Ironman or something, but I feel like surely something has to suffer. How can you do it as the general masses of the trainee doctor? And I wonder, so perhaps maybe we can delve into the time aspect first. We've spoken about the desk time while you're at work, but how do we then maximise our time outside of work? How do you manage it alongside your training, Johnny?
It's a really good question, and I'm in agreement that I think time and motivation are huge, huge factors. I think the first thing, which I think we've touched on, is actually just first being realistic. You know, what can I do? What am I able to do? And what is actually not something which is realistic for me? Like you said, some people will be running marathons or doing Ironmans, and that isn't necessarily the same for everyone. So I think it's first just being a bit realistic and having self-compassion and not judging ourselves for how much or how little we do.
All know these medics, don't we? We all know these people that are doing all this stuff outside of work, and you just think, how on earth are they fitting it in? But it is all a balancing act and working out what's the right thing for you and not comparing yourself to others at times.
Exactly. Not comparing to others is really, really key. And the other thing is also having this sort of, like, we always talk about a person-centered approach in healthcare, but it applies to us too. So there's going to be no one method fits all when it comes to what we can do to manage the kind of time constraints and the motivational barriers. Something which I find what we can do is just start with something really small. We're normally really tired when we get home from work. Shift patterns are very, very difficult. And we also have other commitments outside of work, just like everyone else does, on top of really, really busy jobs. So I find something which is useful is first to, you know, understand that we are creatures of habit. So almost being inactive is just as much of a habit as creating a more healthier, active lifestyle. So to realize, what is our habit? And if our habit is we come home, we decompress as we should, but then do we create an opportunity for us to have time to do anything different? And if we don't, then I'd say the first thing to look at is, can we create a small ring-fenced barrier of time, which is purely for us and purely for us to do something active? And it doesn't have to be anything long. It could be something really short, as before I walk home, I'm going to get off a stop earlier at the bus stop and, you know, walk that bit further. Or I'm going to choose to park in a location that means I might need to walk a little bit more. Or as I walk through the door, before I sit down and crash out on the couch, will I do 2 push-ups? Something really small. Really, really small. And the idea isn't, because I could probably hear people thinking, oh, well, 2 push-ups, what's that going to do? Or doing an extra walk for 30 seconds, that's not going to make a difference. And you may be right. However, what it can do is it can then help us build a habit that we get used to doing. So if we get used to every time we come in through the door doing those 2 push-ups, or even if we can't do the push-ups, just can I clap my hands twice, or can I do a couple of star jumps? Once we get to do that habit, it becomes something which we will automatically want to do as part of our daily routine. Then once we have that, then it's much easier to then build on that. So I would say start by looking at what are really small, achievable types of movement that we can do, that we can easily work into our day, that's easy to perform every day, so it becomes a habit. And then once we do that, we can then build upon it.
I really like that idea, actually. I think for me, I recognize a lot of my motivation is really dependent on doing some sort of formalized exercise at times. So for example, you know, signing myself up to a class and then knowing that, you know, just doing that collective class with other people and kind of going to that location and at that time and sort of getting that into routine is really important to motivate me. But equally, because we are trainees and we have really variable weeks, you know, I can't consistently commit to something like that on a regular basis. And I'm sure people that do team sports and things also struggle with that, which is a real shame. So I really like the idea of of almost adapting that into your own life in some respect and having that moment where you kind of ring-fenced, as you said, some sort of movement that you can start building on and doing that kind of naturally in your day-to-day routine that kind of is there irrespective of training or what time you're finishing work and things. I really like that.
And I really like what you mentioned about the social component as well, because that's another often overlooked element of physical activity and movement.
I find it so much easier. If you have a running partner, you are going to run faster and longer for.
Also, you want to do longer. Yeah, you're enjoying it.
Yeah, it keeps you going.
You're not beating yourself up.
It's so hard to exercise alone and get yourself going, isn't it? I think it's really important.
Yeah, and even things like it's, you know, there's ways, like you said, where there's an element of kind of competition there, because, you know, like, I want to keep going, I don't want to be the first one to stop. But there's also ways in thinking, you know, how can we incorporate movement into our social lives? So instead of having a phone chat, can we say, hey, should we go on a walk together? And that can actually also be adapted to the workplace, like walking meetings. I don't know if anyone's tried them, but the walk and talk, they're incredible, aren't they? And also things like, you know, pleasurable activities like dance. You know, dance is a group thing. Obviously, you can still dance by yourself too. There's nothing wrong with that. Put some music on, dance in the kitchen or the bedroom. I'm definitely guilty of that too. But, you know, but there's activities which can be done in groups. They don't have to be competitive sports, but just group activities, which are really, really important, not only for our mental health and physical health, but also our social health. So there's ways of working in physical activity with other people.
I suppose that, I mean, I don't want to go too off track, but that also provides an opportunity to have that when at other times with work and whatever, with these sometimes ridiculous weeks and irregular hours, you might end up feeling like you're losing that social contact. So if you feel like you can kill two birds with one stone, there's something really quite nice about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like a double benefit, isn't it? Have some time to decompress, talking things through, but also you're exercising at the same time, which is always a good feeling.
And the fact that we're trainees in this together, there's probably loads of other trainees that would be up for joining. And even if it's not like a run, but like, you know, should go for a brisk walk together, for those that want to run or find a class together.
Or just go and have a knockabout. The weather's a bit better. Go play tennis or something. The thing that I keep on thinking about, and I wonder if this is perhaps a very big problem for a lot of trainees, is the commute, particularly in our region. For most of us, we are working in different places year on year, sometimes in a shorter time frame than that, with long commutes for some of those placements. I know that Flo's in the middle of a year doing a horrendous one. I've been there as well. And you find that actually it can be really quite draining, and it can eat into that time element, and it can really eat into that motivation element. And I think that I was trying to think about how I actually coped with it best when I had my worst commute. And every now and then I'd go for a run after work and then try and get in the car to drive home.
I think that's a really important thing that I've learned, is sometimes, weirdly, although you're completely sitting still, driving is so tiring, and you can feel really up for something when you leave work. You know, I actually really want to go for a quick walk or go for a quick run or something, and then by the time you're home an hour and a half later, you can't have anything worse. And actually it's capturing that moment, and sometimes that is, you know, bringing your gym kit to work so that you've got it in the car.
Have you had horrible commutes, Johnny?
I have. I mean, I used to work in London, and getting the tube was always a challenge. But I tried to adapt it though. Then I'd decide to stand instead of sitting. And I practiced martial arts, where I would almost, in a way that didn't look too weird, bend my hips, bend my knees in a way that I was transferring the weight through to my feet, which then became a form of activity, because then as the train moves or the bus moves, I'm actually needing to contract different muscle groups in order to kind of not fall over onto someone.
So relying almost on your core strength and your glutes and things as well?
Yes, but obviously I wouldn't necessarily recommend that everyone should start doing that, because
we all might look a bit strange on the bus.
or have loads of accidents as well. But I think I agree with you, like, it's really hard, the commute. And when I used to work in the East Midlands, I used to have like an hour drive backwards and forwards to and from work. But I really like the idea of almost thinking of it as, my body is born to move. how much movement have I done today? Have I been sitting for prolonged periods of time? And that's okay. It comes with living in a civilized society. And if I have done that, what can I do to adjust it? Even if it isn't, you know, doing an intense bout of exercise, but what about just some stretches after the drive, going for a walk? Doesn't have to be long. Walk in one direction for 5 minutes, then walk back. You've already done a 10-minute walk. So what are the small ways that we can help counterbalance those prolonged periods of inactivity that are easy and, most important, enjoyable as well?
You seem to sort of, which is a brilliant thing, in your day-to-day thought patterns, are just constantly thinking of ways to optimize and make the most of it, which I definitely am not doing at the moment. So I think that's a really nice tip to be able to take forward, just thinking of those little things that you can really maximize on.
And the idea of forming habits that actually, before you know it, is just part of what the way that your brain's made up. You either just do it or you're always looking for other ways.
Yeah, you're sort of constantly thinking about it in a really positive way for your well-being. One of the things, you know, I've been there when I've just had all intentions to go and do something active after work, and maybe I drag myself to the park and do a quick walk just to get out, but I really have kind of got home and not felt up to it by the time I'm home. And then I have that those horrible moments where those runners run past you and they're clearly, you know, on the 10K loop, and you just get that horrible guilt feeling of, oh, I wish I'd done that today. And, you know, some days it's just, you're just not up for it, or your body's just not there. And I just wonder what kind of advice and what would you say to trainees when they're feeling that way and they're just not able to do that day, and what advice would you have for them?
Sure. So I'd say the first thing is being self-compassionate and being kind to ourselves. And it's okay if we've had a really tough day. And you know what? Today we're not feeling it. Today isn't the day that I'm going to do it. And I think that's okay. And I think we shouldn't feel hard on ourselves. We can always either compare ourselves to what we'd like to achieve. We can compare ourselves to other people. And obviously, whilst there is some importance in that, it's really important that we can balance our own expectations. So I think, number one, just be compassionate. Don't worry if you can't do it today. That's okay. Give yourself permission to be like, this is a lazy day. I need to just chill out today. And then maybe can we make ourselves accountable for the next day and say, you know what, well, tomorrow I'm going to maybe start my day with something. That way before...
tomorrow will be a better day.
Yeah, or even if it isn't, because we never know. We hope it will be. but is there a way that I can say, you know what, today was a tough day. I've decided this isn't the day I'm going to be that active. But tomorrow, no matter what comes, I'm going to do something small. And almost like make a commitment to ourselves to do something small. And again, it doesn't have to be big. I think we tend to get overwhelmed with thinking, I have to go to the gym, I have to go on this run, but it really doesn't have to be. It can just be movement. Movement should be free, it should be enjoyable, and it can be really small. And like Katie said, it's like building those habits. Because once we have that habit, it becomes actually really uncomfortable to not keep doing it. And then once we have that habit, then it becomes easier to build upon and add more to it.
Oh, thank you, Johnny. I'd like to move on to a question that we ask everybody. What would you suggest as a non-negotiable tactic to stop any of these things becoming harmful to a trainee? So how can we incorporate movement and to make sure that we're not slipping?
Very good question. I don't know if I've got one answer. I might have more than one. I would say it's a cheat.
We'll let you off.
So I would say protect ourselves. Ring fence time for us, which is so important. And in that time, can we do a little bit of activity, no matter how small, no matter how simple, no matter how short in duration, with the aim of building a habit? Once we have the habit built, it becomes easy. For me, my non-negotiable would be I stand every 30 minutes, within reason. And I also try to get under the sky every day. I need to make sure that I've seen the clouds or the blue sky, and that's an important part of my day. And obviously, I have to move in order to do that unless someone's dragging me out.
Thank you so much, Johnny. You know, I think a lot of what we've talked about is really relatable to so many trainees, and those horrible prangs of guilt and comparison to other people who are running in and cycling into work every day, and you just don't quite know how they're keeping up and doing it all. So I think that's been a really helpful discussion, just talking about little simple things that you can try and build into your own routines to really help feel better and ultimately try and optimize your well-being as well.
I think for me, I'll definitely be taking home that idea about the habit forming and building on it as well. I think that's it somehow seems a bit more manageable, shall we say, to incorporate into the daily lives and then see that there can be some progression from there as well.
Thank you very much for having me.
Here at Rhythm Check, we're looking forward to more episodes in this series, talking to other trainees on key topics that affect our well-being. And we look forward to seeing you soon.